turn with me now to the book of Ephesians. We'll be starting in chapter 5 and verse 22 and going through chapter 6, verse 4. So if you're looking in your pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1582 and continuing on to 1583. Page 1582 and continuing on to 1583. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, and continuing through to chapter 6, verse 4. My friends, this is the Word of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This ends the reading of God's Word. Now, this week, and Lord willing, next week, we will have two sermons on family life, in which Paul instructs us regarding the duties among family members. So next week, Lord willing, we'll be talking about husbands and wives. This is the classic passage for this, of course, in terms of the fifth commandment, here in Ephesians 5 and 6. But today we consider parent to child, that relationship. The fifth commandment, of course, is the one that deals with order in society. Indeed, what we owe to each other. And what we owe to each other depends upon our relative station or position in life. You know, from our catechism, it talked about superiors, inferiors, and equals. This is not saying that one person is better than another, but in terms of authority, just like when we have in governmental authority, we have those who are over us. We have those who are in authority, and we have those who are under authority. And we're going to see that today, particularly with regard to parent-child, the parent-child relationship. And so we've already looked at this in general terms, but now today, and Lord willing next week, we want to look at specific applications of what that means, particularly in the family. And let me just say, by way of acknowledgement, you may be aware of the Westminster Larger Catechism, and basically what I'm doing is I'm following the outline that we find in the Larger Catechism with regard to these various matters. So today, then, the parent-child relationship. And the first thing I want to focus on, then, is the duties of the parents. The duties of the parents. Of course, it's not just the father, it's also the mother. That is indeed what the fifth commandment says. Honor your father and mother. Honor your parents, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So what are the duties of the father and the mother? Well, first of all, tender love and care. Tender love and care. We're going to be looking at a number of passages today. The first one I want us to look at is Isaiah 49, verse 15. Tender love and care. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I, the Lord, will not forget you. And so God, of course, is raising up this analogy, if you will, in terms of the love that he has for his people, and talking about the love that a woman has towards her young children, her nursing child, and compassion on the son of her womb. And that's, of course, what the Bible here is teaching. Especially when children are infants and helpless, there is to be tender love and care, just like what a mother gives. Secondly, raising them as a duty, raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the old phrase, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or in the New King James, the training and admonition of the Lord. So you know what nurture is? To foster, to in terms of helping people. And so here translated, the training, that's part of it. That's part of the nurturing that we give to our children, but also the admonition, that is to say, correcting them when they are wrong. So here we find that in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. But we also find it in other places, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, where the Apostle Paul writes, speaking to Timothy, and that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, how did he know from childhood? Because his mother and grandmother taught him. That's why. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which, of course, is the most important thing, is it not, as we raise our children? Not in terms of are they experts at video games or anything like that, but do they know the Holy Scriptures? Have they been led by you who are parents in terms of the Holy Scriptures? We had read for us today from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 6. We had read Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I've been reflecting somewhat on that in terms of thinking of my parents recently and also looking back at old Bibles that I have, where I would underline verses and write the dates in there, like from 1970. I was a teenager in 1970. I confess my age now. That's more than 50 years ago. And I can look back at even before then, even in terms of the way that my folks raised me. What a happy heritage, what a blessed heritage I've been privileged to have. And that's, you see, that's the standard that is held up here. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So, raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but also prayer for them, and a godly example before them. Prayer for them, and a godly example before them. In the book of Job, you all remember about Job, how he lost everything? But it is interesting that in Job chapter 1, the Lord's chastening, by the way, in this regard, was not because Job was unfaithful. And it says in Job 1, verse 5, "So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all, his children. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." And so prayer for them, but also setting a godly example before them. In Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3, David writes, "I will behave wisely in a perfect or blameless way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked or worthless before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." So praying for them, but also making sure the prayers match, or making sure, I should say, that the lifestyle matches the prayers, the godly example. And how unlike today's TV sitcoms, right? How unlike today's TV situation comedies, where parents are viewed as buffoons, as many times as just people that do not have their act together, and certainly are not those who are setting the example in terms of prayer and lifestyle. Well, fourthly then, we've talked about tender love and care, raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, prayer for them and a godly example. But now fourthly, keeping them under submission while young. Keeping them under submission while young. And I'm reminded in this regard of Luke chapter 2, verse 51. It's an amazing verse dealing with our Lord in his early days, about 12 years old. "Then he went down with them, with his parents, and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart." So Jesus, of course, perfectly followed the fifth commandment and every other law of God. But the parents also had a responsibility, did they not? And so that's the example that we have there. Coming back to Ephesians 6, just for a moment. Ephesians 6. Verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." But notice verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And you see, when I say keeping them under submission while young, one of the things this tells us is that children are not to get the upper hand. Okay? Children are not to get the upper hand. They are to be under authority. And that's another thing then, in terms of the duties of the parents. Keeping them, not in a mean way, not in a tyrannical way, not in a hateful way, in love, to be sure, in the Lord, to be sure, according to his example and his teaching, but nevertheless making sure that you are training the child in the way that he should go. We find another thing here, and fifthly, and that is encouragement of them. Encouragement of them. And if we go back to the book of Proverbs for a moment, chapter 19, verse 18, chapter 19, verse 18, in Proverbs, this is on page 879, Proverbs 19, verse 18, we read, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." Chasten. Chasten him. Correct him, if you will. And yet, of course, do so in a kind way, but chasten him while there is hope, before he gets out of control. Do not set your heart on his destruction. Don't let him go down that destructive way. In chapter 29 of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 15, we read, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Verse 17, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." So what does this mean in terms of not just chastening, but also encouraging? Well, it means kind and loving looks and speeches, okay? In other words, when your child thinks of you, does that child think of you in terms of a scowling and angry face or a loving face? Which is it? Kind looks, kind speeches, not out of control, not angry. Rewarding the child in well-doing, encouraging the child in that way. The child has done well, encourage the child, reward the child. But also reprove the child. Show your displeasure when the child is not doing what is right. And give loving and seasonable correction for ill-doing. What does that mean? Well, let's be clear. The old saying, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's not exactly in Scripture, but it does reflect a Scripture sentiment, does it not? Spanking and other punishments are appropriate at times, not all the time, but they are appropriate. Indeed, making sure that children do not get away with things. Even as we've said here, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And how often have we seen that? Not only in church history, but in general history as well. Now, we also find then provision for the present and laying up for the future. Provision for the present and laying up for the future. So 1 Timothy 5, going back to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, Paul writes, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household..." Let me repeat that. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And so there must be concern. There must be provision for the present, but also laying up for the future as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, we read, "Now, for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." In other words, making sure that you give a good heritage, a good inheritance, not just, of course, in terms of finances, but also spiritually, but indeed to lay up a heritage for your children, to give them a literal inheritance, laying up for the future, helping them in that regard. And the seventh point here, in terms of duties of the parents, besides tender love and care, raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, prayer for them and a godly example before them, keeping them under submission while young, encouragement of them, provision for them, now seventhly, helping them, disposal of them to trades, callings, marriage, in other words, helping them along the way with these things, yet not using force. In other words, you know, sometimes a parent will say, well, I really think you ought to be this in terms of your life. Well, a parent can encourage that, but maybe God is calling that child something else. And so you have to be sensitive in that. But at the same time, you can certainly give direction in terms of what that child ought to be doing with his or her life, or even what that child ought to be doing in terms of a marriage partner. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 36, we read, "But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, that is virgin daughter, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry." Verse 38, "So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better." And so the parent, particularly the father, has a responsibility in terms of shepherding his child, his daughter, in terms of marriage, yet even there, without force, not forcing a marriage that she is unwilling to enter into. When you take marriage vows, wilt thou, will you? It's a matter of vowing. It's a voluntary matter. And so there has to be sensitivity on these matters. So those are the duties of the parents that we see in Scripture. And now we want to look at the duties of children. So children, this is your turn now. But you adults, listen in too, okay? So the first thing we see in terms of duties of children is inward reverence. Inward reverence. Inward respect. Malachi 1, verse 6. Malachi 1, verse 6. "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts." And so forth. So, in other words, love and respect for your parents. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. In Leviticus 19, verse 3. "Every one of you shall revere, shall respect his mother and his father." It's interesting there. It doesn't say his father and his mother. It says his mother and his father. "And keep my Sabbaths." It's interesting, the joining of those things. "But every one of you shall respect, shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Children, God himself is telling you, you must respect your parents. You must learn to love and appreciate your parents. But then there's also outward reverence as well. And so out of that attitude, out of that inward attitude, there comes an outward respect as well. Proverbs 31, dealing with the virtuous woman, verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." So I used to tell my college classes, what do you do when a woman enters the room? You stand up, don't you? And here, the children specifically, they rise up. They call her blessed. They show that respect outwardly. And, of course, this in means, so what does this mean in practical terms? Well, it could mean just the very way, children, that you look. Is it with tenderness? Is it with respect? Or do you have a scowling face towards your parents? It could be your posture. It could be your language. It could be what kind of music you want to listen to. Children are to act in such a way as to bring honor to the family name rather than dishonor. So inward reverence, outward reverence. Thirdly, diligent hearkening or listening to instructions. Diligent, careful hearkening, listening to instructions. Now, we read today a number of passages from the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, and so forth. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Listen, children, listen when your parents are warning you. Listen to their instructions. Again, Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, and so forth, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Chapter 3 of Proverbs. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Proverbs 4. Verse 1, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Chapter 5 of Proverbs, verse 1, chapter 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. And then the warning goes on about the immoral woman. And of course, we could look at other passages as well, but you get the point here. You get the point of what the Proverbs are saying. In other words, pay attention, children, to what you are told. Fourthly, then, willing obedience to all lawful commands. Notice I said lawful. Doesn't mean if your father says, let's go rob a bank, that you're supposed to obey that. Obviously not. But yet, you are to obey in the Lord. This is what our passage, Ephesians 6, verse 1, tells us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we find in a similar passage in parallel in Colossians 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Does that mean I have to go to bed when they tell me to? It sure does. Does this mean I may only watch certain things on the television and may not watch others? It sure does. Willing obedience to all lawful commands. Fifth, meek and patient hearing of reproofs and corrections with correction of faults. So meek and patient hearing of reproofs and corrections with correction of faults. In Proverbs 15, verse 12, we read, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A scoffer, one who scoffs, particularly scoffs at God, you see, will act foolishly and refuse to hear the instruction. But instead, we should have a meek and patient hearing of reproofs and corrections Hebrews 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So the writer of the Hebrews is using the illustration that, of course, we've had human fathers who corrected us. And of course, we paid them respect, even in the corrections that they offer. So, do not pout when you're corrected. Be grateful. Be grateful. Sixth, then, in terms of the duties of children, ready following of the parents' reasonable counsel. Ready following of the parents' reasonable counsel. You know, it's interesting that in Exodus 18, we find Jethro, who is the father-in-law of Moses. Now, so Moses is not his son, he's his son-in-law. And yet Jethro, who of course is older, has more wisdom than Moses, gives him counsel, saying, you're going to wear yourself out hearing all these cases, all these judicial cases, therefore appoint lower judges who can hear over 50 and over 100 people. In other words, divide it up so that you don't wear yourself out and all the hard cases you can hear. But for the others, let the rest of the people make the decision. That was counsel then, which Jethro offered and which Moses paid attention to and took. You know, here is a truth. Parents, listen to me, children. Parents have always been older than their children. I don't know if you ever noticed that before. They've always been older. You remember the author Mark Twain? This is the way he put it. Quote, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Isn't that funny? Of course, it wasn't that his father had learned so much in 7 years. Is that Mark Twain had grown up and then appreciated the wisdom of his father. So, not only then are we duties of children, are they to show inward reverence, outward reverence, hearkening, listening to instructions, willing obedience to all lawful commands, meek and patient hearing of corrections, ready following of their reasonable counsel. But seventhly, grateful kindness to them in nourishing and caring for them in old age and in their infirmities. So it is true, of course, that the parents are to lay up for the children. But it's also true that when you get to a certain age, the children are to take care of the parents. And of course, we see that in a number of places. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Don't despise her. Rather, take care of her, help her, nourish her, if you will. In Ruth chapter 4, the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4, Joshua judges Ruth, Ruth chapter 4 and verse 15. Then verse 14, then the women said to Naomi, that was the mother-in-law of Ruth, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. So may that grandchild, you see, may he, the one whose name would be famous in Israel, may he be one who nourishes you, takes care of you in old age. This, of course, young people, is in contrast to the me generation. And it's in contrast to the desire to be rid of responsibility of providing for the aged. This is horrible, this attitude towards older people. Well, 3 points of application. First point is this: fathers and mothers, are you future oriented? Are you future oriented? Are you looking to raise a godly family that will lead to generations yet unborn? To pray for generations yet unborn, but to plan in such a way that you are going to raise a godly family that for generations yet unborn, those who are not in the twinkle of anyone's eye, someday those great, 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 great grandsons will look back on the great, 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 great grandfather and praise the Lord for that person. Are you future oriented down through the ages, centuries from now? Are you concerned, as we look at the future, are you concerned about your children's spiritual state and eternal destination, knowing it's not just for this life, but it's for eternity? Are you future oriented? Number two, children, are you giving grief to your parents? Are you giving grief to your parents? Do you know how horrible that is to treat them like that? Do you know how painful that is? Do you care? Do you know how your behavior now as children usually predicts how you will behave when you grow up? Right? The child that is living for the Lord as a young person, generally speaking, grows up to love the Lord and to be a good member of the church and of society and prepared for eternity. Do you know how your behavior now as children usually predicts how you will behave when you grow up? And do you realize that if you act wickedly today, you are headed for a life of grief? And then thirdly, look to Christ for his grace. Look to Christ for his grace. Pray to Jesus for help to be parents, the parent you should be, children, the child you should be. Pray to Jesus for help to be the parent or child you should be. And act properly, not because of yourself or other family members. Not just because it's something that will make your life easier, perhaps, or will bring glory to your family or help to your children. Don't do this simply because of yourself or other family members. But fundamentally do it because it brings glory to your Savior. Amen. Will you please stand for prayer? And Father, every one of us here has sinned as children, as a child. Many of us have, those of us who have had children, we've sinned as parents. And so we acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge that our only hope for the forgiveness of that sin is through the blood of thy Son. We do pray, Father, that we would be given the grace and the strength as parents, as grandparents, as children, as grandchildren. We pray that we would be given the strength and the grace to look to Jesus, to look to him as our example, but also, Lord, to look to him as our Savior, For indeed, O God, we need to be found in Him through union with Him. And so give us that grace, Father, we pray. Enable us evermore to look to Jesus, who not only lived the life that we did not live, but died the death that we dare not die. And not just for us in this life, but for eternity as well. Hear this, our prayer, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
In closing, please turn with me.